drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on, tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
The Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. That is me speaking to you guys as usual for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. We're back on this Tuesday night, November 13th, 2018. We are counting down the days to championship weekend in Miami Homestead Speedway, where we will decide, not me, but the action on track will decide the three champions beginning Friday night with the Cable Truck Series kicking it off. Things with FS1 and then the double dip with the Xfinity Series Saturday afternoon, and then the season finale, the ultimate finale, going to go down Sunday afternoon, mid-afternoon in Miami to decide who will reign as champion in all NASCAR. This has been an anticipated weekend here coming up in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Rolls on. And today is Tuesday. Usually we had Mick Rose on Mondays, but I had a meeting or not a meeting yesterday, so that was all for naught. But just in case, I pushed the meeting with, or I should say meeting, the interview, or I should say get together with Mick tonight, so he'll be joining us here shortly. But before Mick calls in, I want to get my thoughts in on a couple of legends, if you will, passed away yesterday. Of course, Stan Lee, famous for us, Marvel, the creator of Marvel Comics. Oh, I love those movies. A lot of them, anyways. Passed away yesterday, and right after the post-race podcast recording last night, turned to find out that David Pearson, the Silver Fox Hall of Famer, passed away yesterday at the age of 83. David Pearson was welcomed to the Hall of Fame back in 2011 as a top vote getter in that class, which was the second introduction class in the Hall of Fame. The cause of his passing is unknown at this time. And the last time of a health scare, his family had reported that David suffered a stroke back in December of 14. Nicknamed the Silver Fox in a nod to both his late race gilly and prematurely gray hair, Pearson won 105 races in NASCAR's top division, placing him second only to Richard Petty's famous 200 victories on the all-time list. Perhaps more remarkably, Pearson never competed in a full-time season. His win total came in 574 starts, less than half of Petty's 1,114 starts. Wow, that's unbelievable. David Pearson, of course, this quote by Jim France yesterday: David Pearson's 105 NASCAR Premier Series victories and his classic rivalry in the 1960s and 70s with Richard Petty helped set the stage for NASCAR's transformation in a mainstream sport with national appeal, end quote, NASCAR chairman, CEO Jim France said in a presser released yesterday. So yeah, definitely a sad news leading up to one of the more exciting weekends in all of sports. David Pearson, the Silver Fox, passing away yesterday. Of course, everyone's sending their condolences on Twitter and about yesterday, and they will continue throughout the weekend leading up to this grand finale, Ford EcoBoost 400, where we decide a champion on Sunday. But you know, you hear all the stories about Pearson. He was one of those good guys on the racetrack. Yeah, I mean, it was beyond, past, not even before my time, obviously, but definitely one of the talented racers in all of NASCAR. And for sure, he is going to be missed. Obviously, there's some other numbers I want to throw at you here before we take our small break, and then we will welcome in Mick Rose from JC. For those of you who don't know, JC, Junction City, Kansas, where, of course, that's 20 minutes away from where I live, Manhattan, Kansas, where, of course, the Three Wide NASCAR podcast resides at. Of course, we mentioned the 574 starts, the 105 wins, polls, over 100 of them, 113, and he's won 3 championships in his stint in all NASCAR. Definitely one of the very talented racers, and obviously a Hall of Famer, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2011. So a lot to be wild about, and of course, yeah, definitely at this time, definitely a somber news yesterday. Of course, Pat Lurden passing Stan Lee in the morning, and then I didn't get this news until just moments after we wrapped up the post-race pod, which, oh, by the way, it'll be up tonight, by the way, so this later this evening, so be out on the lookout for that. You can listen to that in the morning on your drive to work or wherever it is. And then, of course, this is a separate recording when Mick hops on with us here shortly, so definitely get your fix on with us. Include us in your podcast rotation. And before we have our intermission music, we're going to get a moment of silence for both Stan Lee and David Pearson, both passing away yesterday. EG3, the Three Wide NASCAR podcast, rolls on this Tuesday night. We are about a minute away from having Mick Rose on the podcast. He's been on a few times with us from Junction City, and I'm going to get this social media update in here real quick before we get it our talk on. You can follow us at, you can follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie, again on Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie, and of course, 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. If you have not downloaded our podcast or subscribed to it, what are you waiting for? We are really a few days away from ending the NASCAR season. Get on top of it. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Join the movement right here on this podcast. And Ford Championship weekend is here, and here we go. Mick Rose, the red light is on. Let's get him on air right now. Mick, you're on. What's going on, man?
Having a chilly day here in Kansas.
Yeah, you can say that again. Yeah, it's been really cold up here in Manhattan, Junction City. Yeah, it's too early, really a little bit too early for this brutal cold weather, but oh well. Okay, before we get to the ISM recap, I want to get your thoughts on, I know it's before my time, and I mentioned that before the intermission break, but I want to get your thoughts on David Pearson, who passed away yesterday.
Yeah, the Silver Fox. When I was, I didn't see him racing a lot, you know, because it was kind of, you know, the I was young when he was racing, but yeah, everything you heard, he was when he showed up, he was the guy to beat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Like I say, it was before my time. I didn't watch him race, obviously, but yeah, hearing all the stories and going back, well, watching highlights. Yeah, he was definitely one of those guys that you had to beat when he was on the racetrack. That's for sure.
Yeah, he never really. I mean, I guess there was a few years he competed, but it seemed like not. You know, he wasn't one. You know, like Richard Petty competed full time every year, but David Pearson didn't do that, and so. He could, would have been full time every year. You know, how many wins would he have had? You know, so
yeah, that's
he was a phenomenal race car driver.
That's for sure, Hall of Famer to go along with his credentials. I wanted to actually talk about Kansas too. How was the weekend up there when the playoff race was in Kansas? I know we didn't get I didn't get a chance to see you up there, but how was it? How did you enjoy the races?
I enjoyed them every time. I thought it was a good race. It don't always show on television, though. You know, they there's a lot of racing because there's so many grooves in the racetrack. There's a lot, you know, some people are racing right up against the wall. Some are at the bottom. So there is a lot of racing going on throughout the field, which I don't know if they necessarily catch that on television.
Yeah, that's one thing that TV doesn't catch. Like both races this year that I went to, well, obviously we went to, they were really good races. I like the spring race better than the playoff race a little bit more, just because of the exciting finish that took place back in May. But yeah, it was pretty much good racing over there. In the playoff race, Blaney gave it a good ride, and I did see the attempt by your guy Kyle Larson there to try to pass Kyle Busch where I was sitting at to end the race right there.
Yeah, it was almost a Carl Edwards kind of dive bomb.
Exactly.
I don't know if they ever showed it on television though, but he didn't make it, but it was worth watching.
Yeah, that was for sure something to watch right there. Of course, Chase Elliott going on to win the race back a few weeks ago. But now kind of fast-forwarding a little bit to the action that took place over this past weekend. Mick, what are your thoughts on the new layout of ISM with the start-finish line on the opposite end now of the track and the grandstands? It was pretty. I like the switch up there, though.
Yeah, there's a. I've been to a few racetracks where the grandstands are in the wrong spot, so you're setting in the sun all the time. So I'm glad they, you know, changed it for the fans there. But the restarts were crazy. But once the race, you know, a lap or two after the restart, it was pretty much like regular Phoenix, except for the corners were numbered different, but the restarts were, you know, kind of chaotic. You didn't know how they were going to funnel down into the turn.
Yeah, we saw I saw it a lot this weekend, over the weekend, where guys dive bombing the dog leg, going three, sometimes four wide, and I'm not sure if those cars went five wide or not, but I know for a fact that trucks/cars, they were down in the dog leg trying to make the shortcut down there. And really, the advantage was down at the bottom lane of the racetrack. Really, if you restarted there, you can really make up some ground down there.
Yes, if you were kind of in a bad spot if you were on, like, the second row on the outside because... Mm-hmm. You had nowhere to go, and everybody, you know, left you out there kind of, you know, out there to dry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Mick Rose from Junction City joins me. The truck race last Friday night saw Brett Moffitt come up big once again with less than five laps to go to win the race and, of course, get his ticket to Miami. You have any thoughts, overall thoughts, on that truck race?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was probably one of the better races of the three. I don't know why. It just seemed like there was a the cup race was really good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all three of them were really good, but the truck race, you know, it was a bunch of comers and goers, too. You know, there's like four of them that all led at different times, you know, and you're like, all right, they're going to win it. And somebody else would lead for a while, and it just went back and forth, so.
Yeah, and this was a really intriguing race, and the fact that Grant Emminger came up short in this race there. He had a good opportunity to possibly cause some chaos to try to get in the championship four, but obviously that either the last restart or the second to last restart there, Grant Emminger did not get a good jump, and eventually he lost the race there, but a valiant effort on his part there to try to. He was one of the surprises in these whole truck playoffs, along with Justin Haley, my dark horse, to make it to Miami for the championship four, and he got there. What are your surprises you take from up until this point, anyway?
Well, I was expecting more out of Matt Crafton, I guess. You know, I was just waiting all year for it to come out. You know what I mean? All right, this was the week, and it just never happened for him.
Yeah, Matt Crafton, and I turn on this race right towards the end of stage number two, and Crafton, he was up there racing Harrison Burton there, almost getting the stage win there, but the race turned when the 88 pit crew did not get a good pit stop there, and Matt Crafton, it seems like he could not recover after that. He drove all the way to second in a bad pit stop. And then Crafton couldn't get back up there, it seemed like.
Yeah, and he's just been like a, you know, you always expect him, you know, the last few years to be in the title hunt. And this year, I just kept waiting for it, and it just never happened.
Yeah, and on top of that, Matt Crafton, if my stat is correct, doesn't have a win yet. And we're coming down to the end, and from what it looks like, I don't think... If that stat holds true after Friday night, Matt Crafton, who would have said this, he's going to become winless this year.
I know. That's probably my biggest surprise, you know, because he's the older veteran in there, him and Johnny Sauter.
So definitely something to keep an eye on, but Matt Crafton hasn't shown winning speed, and... Johnny Sauter, Justin Haley, Brett Moffitt, Noah Gregson, your four compete for the championship in the trucks on Friday night. Turning over the page to the Xfinity Series, Mick, for a surprise for me coming out of the Xfinity Series, who would have thought that Tyler Reddick would come out of the Junior Motorsports stable, represented the organization as the guy that going for a championship for this organization? If you would have told me before the playoffs started that your regular season champion, Justin Allgaier, would not make it to the championship four, I would have told you, you're crazy. But it turned out that way. Reddick in the championship four and Allgaier not in it.
Yeah, that is my biggest shock of the playoffs, I believe, is that right there. You know, to have, what was it, five wins?
Yeah, five wins, yes.
And then to come up short in the, you know, the round of eight, not it being able to advance to the round of four. And it just started bad at Kansas, and it just never really went great from there.
Yeah, really, overall, really, a playoffs not to forget, actually, for Justin Allgaier. Really, you can really go back. I can take it back even a little bit further to Richmond, where he and Austin Cindric got into it here. And from there, it seemed like those two, throughout the playoffs, couldn't get away from each other. Obviously, Austin Cindric causing havoc throughout the playoffs up until this point. But yeah, Allgaier there, getting loose in Kansas, getting Christopher Bell, Austin Cindric, and Cole Kushner were involved in that. But Christopher Bell winning from the back of the field, not getting qualifying time in, and Bell in the championship four.
Yeah, that was a shock. I didn't get to watch the Xfinity race until the start of stage two.
Okay.
But I missed the first stage. I did see that he had missed qualifying and stuff like that, but I didn't make it back in time until the start of stage two. But it was still pretty impressive after, you know, because, you know, just starting in the back and then, you know, having to come all the way to the front is not always, you know, that's the easy way. Sometimes it's easy, other times you get caught up in somebody else's mess, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's for sure. So, Bell getting the job done there. Justin Allgaier, going back to him, he won both stages, and like you said, I can't remember what exactly happened to him that put him back there, but he had got up in John Hunter Nemechek's mess. Nemechek spinning off the dog leg and collected Allgaier and pretty much ended his day, and Allgaier's brakes went away, and yeah, Justin Allgaier couldn't come away from that. Justin Allgaier's teammate Elliot Sadler looked to go out on a swan song, go out on top to go for a championship. Not going to happen, obviously. And for Sadler, he put the blame on himself for not getting his team prepared enough for ISM last weekend.
Yep, it was a close. Who was in, who was out. That jumped around so much at the end of the race. I thought Elliott was going to get in, you know, at one point. And then it just kind of faded away. Reddick kind of pulled away.
Yep.
I don't think it was mine, but a couple of points, I think, was the difference. It was not a huge difference that kept Elliott out, I don't believe.
Yeah, I think Elliott Sadler at one point, at least toward the end of the race, it was over 15 points that he needed to make up on Tyler Reddick there, so... Elliott Sadler didn't score stage points in the first two stages there, so that put him in a hole. And seemed like Elliott Sadler, the way that car was driving, he couldn't get back up to compete with Reddick and the rest of that top 10. So now, I mean, look at this Xfinity Championship 4, which is going to happen on Saturday. You got Cole Custer, who won Texas, Bell, who won last week, and then one of the bigger stories of the playoffs is Daniel Hemric, not on the consistency side, but the fact that he does not have a win yet in his Xfinity career, and he's moving up the Cup next year. And you have Tyler Reddick, who's going to be switching Xfinity rides from Junior Motorsports to Richard Childress Racing next year. How do you see this shaking out?
Cole Custer beat everybody at Homestead, but he wasn't in the championship, you know. So I don't know. Can he repeat that performance? Is it going to be? I don't, because man, he put a whooping on everybody last year.
Yeah, we've been saying it all year.
Yeah, so it was a, you know, and I heard on Door Bumper Clear, you know, maybe, you know, the other cars were so close together because they're, you know, the championship cars are scrutinized, make sure they're all legal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That maybe, you know, Custer had a little bit of something. I do not know. I think Christopher Bell might be the guy to beat, but if Custer brings the same performance he had last year, that they're in trouble.
Yeah, the three guys in this championship four there in serious hurt, if that is the case. But we'll have to see when the cars hit the track for practice this weekend. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, hanging out with Mick Rose tonight on this chilly Tuesday night, as Mick referred to earlier. Now the Cup race. This was exciting and nerve-wracking from all kind of sorts. But before the cars even hit the track, Mick, we had a big penalty announcement last Wednesday. Kevin Harvick, of course, who spanked everyone, dominated the race at Texas. NASCAR was not happy of how that car looked, or at least the spoiler did, at the R&D Center. Hit with a 40-point penalty. No Rodney Childers for the rest of the year. In the car chief as well. How did you feel about that penalty being handed to on a Wednesday last week?
I don't get too worked up about it. I think it's kind of humorous, you know, the way it works out, you know. But because I think you could probably do it at the track, you know, and do it. But I see both ways, you know, because if they did the tech at the racetrack, the story would still be, you know, Kevin Harvick was, you know, found illegal. So it doesn't really matter if it's Sunday or Wednesday, but if it happens on Wednesday, at least, you know, you talk about the race for a couple of days. If it happens on Sunday, you're just going to talk about the penalty all week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it could go either way. You know, I do not know. I know all teams push the envelopes, you know, and this one's kind of a, you know, kind of messing with the spoilers, probably not the, you know, a good thing to be messing with. You know, the penalty probably could be a little harsher, I guess. But, I mean, I can see it both ways. I just don't get too worked up about it. You know, I like to joke about it, you know. It'll be fun, but I'm fine with it either way.
Yeah, and yeah, I kind of find it odd that the penalty was issued. Yeah, I understand the punishment, but in my opinion, do it on the racetrack, or do it on a Monday, at least in my opinion anyways, do it on a Monday so we're not hearing all these penalties in the middle of the week, or even Thursday for that matter. So that's just my take on it. But yeah, Harvick had an eventful afternoon with the tire going down towards the end of stage one, which Chase Elliott won that stage. And for a moment there, I thought Harvick was in trouble there, but Harvick rallies back, of course, gets in to the championship four there. But on the flip side of that, of course, Stewart Haas Racing, Mick, had all of its cars in this round of eight and leaves only one competing for the championship four. Obviously, though, Kurt Busch had a tremendous opportunity to get in and to possibly boot his teammate out, the most dominant car, or I should say the dominant car of this entire season, the four car. But everything turned for the 41 when he went ahead of the pace car on one of the cautions.
Yeah, that was, because I think it was this race last year, the same thing, you know, they were in the spring race last year or something where they had warned all the drivers and stuff. So it wasn't like it's a new penalty and never been heard of before.
Yeah.
But, man, from the Kevin Harvick to the you know, Joey Logano wreck, Clint
yeah.
Boyer wreck, and, you know, I mean, there was a lot going on in that race there, you know. The Joey Logano was the only one that was, like, good, you know, no matter what happens. So.
Yep, uh-huh. Yep, and he was definitely thankful that he put the move on Truex there at Martinsville and did what he had to do to get his ticket to Miami. So Logano definitely breathed a sigh of relief there, because he said he would have been out if he not had done that. And also Chase Elliott, you talked about the points fluctuating back and forth with the Xfinity. Well, Mick, we saw that a lot in the Cup Series race when Chase Elliott took the lead. He was in, I believe, Harvick was out at one point, even Truex was out at one point. And it kept fluctuating back and forth. And then we saw, like we usually do with these Cup races, in the last, like, hour, it seemed like we seemed to get red flag, then get back going again. We saw another red flag at that. But if anything, like we saw at ISM, relates to the championship race on Sunday, we're going to be in for a heck of a treat.
Yeah, the cup race was, you know, it was a little bit different, I guess. I mean, if you were a Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch fan, Martin Truex fan, that race had to be absolutely nerve-wracking for those fans, too, you know, because there was so much, you know, for 1 minute you think Kevin Harvick is done, and then you're like, man, Kurt Busch just let him back in. And you're like, oh, I think Chase Elliott threw it away. You know, and then it was a whole lot of craziness that went on, but it kept me entertained the entire day. And very seldom, you know, does a, you know, a cup race, you know, somewhere in the middle, you might, you know, go make some popcorn or something while it's going on. But this one kept me glued to the TV the whole time.
This one kept me basically standing in front of the TV almost the entire race, pretty much, until I had to leave. But yeah, it's just what a NASCAR's dream fan that you want to see drama with the stage points and trying who's in and who's out. It's very, if you're not one of those fans of those drivers yet, it might be maybe boring is probably the wrong word, maybe not be entertained. But if your driver is in the part of the playoff equation, then heck yes, it's definitely entertaining to that extent. There was a tweet yesterday that I read when I got back home, and I didn't even think about this until it came up, but Nick Bromberg, I guess, had a tweet, and I've heard a couple of scenarios. Eric Almirola's situation, right, with Kyle Busch. I don't know if you read a tweet or listened to any of the podcasts about it, but the fact that, of course, Kyle Busch will be going up against, of course, Kevin Harvick once again in the championship four. Eric Almirola, he had to win this race yesterday. And Almirola came charging in the fourth quarter of this race, had a chance to win. Of course, did not get a good restart or whatever. But the theory is that if Kyle Busch lets Almirola in to win the race, then he knocks off one of the biggest competitors in the championship four, which obviously is Kevin Harvick. And Kyle Busch went on to say that, the thought didn't cross his mind or whatever, but if you let Almirola by, then Brad Keselowski, who was eliminated in the last round, Keselowski had a great run yesterday. Keselowski would have won, which I would agree with as well. What's your take on it?
To me, the smart move, I understand what Kyle Busch said, because I think Dale Jarrett asked him, you know, did he think about that? And Kyle Busch said, oh, it crossed my mind, but there was too many cars with good tires that would have got around him, you know, even if he let him go. But, yeah, to me, I thought the smart play was to, you know, spin my tires on this restart and hold everybody up and let Almirola go, and you're going to eliminate Kevin Harvick. That, to me, that would have been a brilliant move, and nobody would have faulted you if you, you know, happened to, you know, spin the tires on a restart. It's happened before, you know, so. But I'm kind of glad he didn't, because of the integrity of the sport, know?
Yeah.
But, man, is it going to be brutal if Kevin Harvick beats Kyle Busch for the championship, though, you know, and he could have possibly eliminated him?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other tweet that was followed up. I guess Mick Bromberg and Dave Moody were exchanging tweets back and forth, and that was the other, you hit on it, Mick. That's the other thing that, oh, man, obviously Kevin Harvick is the heavy favorite behind probably Kyle Busch as a favorite to win the championship, but yeah, oh, man, is karma, you don't want karma to bite you in the butt if that happens. Yeah, Harvick, you put it in a situation, especially what we have seen in this format, especially when it comes down to the championship race where the champion contenders are battling up at front, side by side, and if Harvick does, if that does play out like that, yeah, Kyle Busch might be second that opinion there, where he had the possible opportunity to eliminate the biggest competitor, the biggest title threat of this year, Harvick, win the championship. And that, you can't rule that out, obviously, with the way that Harvick has ran all year on mile and a half, has had speed throughout the year. And yeah, that's that. It'll be interesting. Definitely be must-see TV on Sunday.
It will be definitely. And Homestead is always a weird race.
Yes.
Because there's some long runs on there, and there'll be a car that is really good on a short run, mm-hmm. and there'll be a car that's really good on the long run. Mm-hmm. And the last few years, it's come down to a short run, you know, to win the race. So, you know, the car that might be dominant the whole race probably isn't going to win. You know, the way the history has been on this racetrack.
Cause yes, sir.
It seems like it always comes to a late caution, and then it's a short run, which could be anywhere, you know, from 20 laps down. But it always, you know, you think it's going to go one way, and it will change it up. It's then, you know, not Carl Edwards is going to have a championship one year.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Carl Edwards might not be retired if he closes out that championship. We never know, but it doesn't happen that way. So, and of course, Joey Logano, who was a part of that a couple years ago with Carl Edwards, that contact there that thwarted, that put an end to Carl Edwards' bid for that first championship. And speaking of Joey Logano, this is his third attempt at trying to get his elusive first championship. And now he and that race team, Todd Gordon, had a couple weeks now to prepare that race car for Homestead. Do you think, will that be the difference maker of him winning that championship? Or, but of course, he's going to have to go through, of course, his Ford teammate, manufacturer teammate, Kevin Harvick, to do so. Will that be the difference maker on Sunday?
I do not know, because I heard on Race Hub, you know, that Truex, his car chief, got ejected for not making the qualifying.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so he went back to Denver to work on his Homestead car. And Rodney Childers and the car chief for the four, they stayed back there and worked on the four car for Homestead while they were suspended. So they say, you know, one of the advantages of the suspensions were those guys got to work some extra time on the cars also, you know, so.
Yep. Yeah, so.
Just do not know. Kyle Busch might be the one, you know, he might have needed somebody suspended too to keep up.
Yeah, you never know. But, yeah, it's got to be a level playing field. Yeah, so really, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So, Joey Logano said, I also found it interesting that he went on to say that he was the favorite at Phoenix, and Kyle Busch comes back and says, "So much for being the favorite." After Logano had his tire issue, like you mentioned earlier, so I'm interested to see media day. It's going to be fun with these four guys on Thursday to see who plays the mind games. Obviously, with Logano, you know, his issues with now you're throwing Truex in there. Truex, Logano's had issue with Harvick. Logano's had issue with Kyle Busch. So Logano hasn't made much friends in this playoffs. In the playoffs.
I think it's an evenly matched Final Four, though. It's going to come down to, I think, just to the, you know, the cards fall just right. I mean, it could come down to a pit stop or a short run or a long run, and you just do not know. I don't think there's, you know, you could say, well, Kevin Harvick's the favorite. He's been, you know, dominant all season. Or, you know, you could say Martin Truex's team is closing down, so maybe they're not in it. Or you could say Truex's team is closing down, so they want to go out as champions, you know. Mm-hmm. So it could go either way, you know. There's just no, I think it's going to be a wild race, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, you're listening to Through Our NASCAR Podcast with EG3. A few more minutes with Mick. Yeah, and speaking of pit stops, that was going to be my next to last question. This race also, it seems like the pit crews make the difference late in the final pit stops in these races. You talk about the short run speed. Whatever car gets out front from the pit stops seems to hold off and wins the race. Like last year, Kyle Busch, in my opinion, had the faster car, but somehow Martin Truex Jr. Got out of the pits first and held him off lap after lap to win on to win his first championship, obviously. So another note to put in your notebook, the pit stops going to be critical, especially on the final one. Of course, speaking of pit stops, of course, the Ford team, Harvick, made another change. Of course, Eric Almirola being out of the championship now. Harvick's team went on to make the switch to add on his rear tire changer for the 10 team. So, and the Ford team, they could have won a couple more races in these playoffs have not for hiccups on pit road.
Yeah, it's there's a lot. I've also seen that Penske went to a wind tunnel, and Blaney's car, his primary car, was better than Joey Logano's backup car, so they were moving Blaney's car to Joey Logano's backup car for this race. It was either NASCAR America or Race Hub yesterday. They had talked about that they were, you know, putting all the chips in there for Logano, you know, to,
right,
in case he has trouble, his backup car is just as good as his primary.
Yep. Everybody, these four teams pulling out all the stops, so when they get to Miami, they're prepared as possible. Before I get your prediction on who's going to take home the championships in all three divisions, what is your biggest take of the Cup playoffs? Your biggest surprise up until this point? What is your surprise?
Man, biggest surprise? Maybe Jimmy Johnson was, you know, not getting a win thus far. So far, not getting a win is probably my biggest surprise.
Yeah, that's one of many surprises. That's a good one. And you might as well can add on Denny Hamlin to that list. And really, Kyle Larson, pretty much they're 267 laps away. And of course, we know the story on Kyle Larson when it comes to Miami Homestead, riding that Highline, obviously. And he's led a lot of laps in the last few years. Yeah, those guys don't have wins yet. And I don't think that script's going to change, because one of these four guys is going to win this race on Sunday. The Championship Four is going to win this race, and that's the storyline that could follow up to the offseason. The 48 not winning, the 11 streaks on the line also, and the 42, Kyle Larson, to me, kind of an honorable mention, because coming off of four wins, you think that, okay, he's going to continue to get better, but kind of surprising to me, no win so far, and yeah, he had a good run this past Sunday, finishing in third, but yeah, got to be disappointing for that 42 team not making it as far past the second round once again.
Yeah, that was definitely disappointing as a Larson fan.
yeah, so, but we'll have to see in the offseason what they do, and a lot of the many, as well as some of these other teams, but now, all right, so finally, lastly, before I let you go, I'm going to get your take on who's going to win the championships for all three divisions and for championship weekend. Who you got? I know it's only Tuesday, but who you got? Or who you lean for,
right,
anyway?
So you want me to start with the trucks?
Absolutely, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go with Brett Moffitt.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to go with Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with, you know, I hate to go against your guy, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch in the Xfinity Series.
All right. Kyle Busch for the win. All right. I like those
choices. I mean, in the Cup Series.
Yeah. I know what you mean. So, yeah. All right. So, Brett Moffitt's been coming up in some of these podcasts I've been listening to lately to win a championship. So that's a good one. And Bell, we'll see what he does on Saturday. And Kyle Busch, if he's going to get a second championship, he's going to have to go through Harvick, Truex, and Joey Logano. There we go. I almost lost it for a second in Logano, but definitely.
He almost forgot the favorite.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but definitely, though, this is like the best of the best, especially in the Cup Series. The four best, like Jeff Gluck put it, I listened to his podcast today, getting caught with that. The four best drivers, if you put it in the regular format without the playoffs, these would have been the top four drivers in this year's NASCAR Cup Series. And boy, it's going to be a battle to the finish.
I agree.
All right, Mick. Hey, it's been a good one. Have a good week, Mick. And if you're available next week, we'll hope to chat about what happened in Ford Championship weekend. It's going to be an exciting weekend from all three divisions.
All right, I hope to be free.
Sounds like a plan. We'll see you, man.
All right. Okay.
That, my friends, Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas, breaking it down. Brett Moffitt, Christopher Bell, and Kyle Busch for the championship weekend this weekend. And, of course, I'm not going to have my picks until Thursday, so be out on the lookout for that. You can follow me once again at 3Watt_FastEddie for the latest on Twitter. And, of course, I mentioned earlier about podcasts for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast going 3Wide Championship Weekend. Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, Deezer. We're just about on everywhere. So if you have not downloaded the podcast, you better get on it. And to all you guys who have been following me all year long, a big thank you to all you guys who continue to listen to this podcast. And again, it's been a blast doing this, going solo this year. Has been a blast getting to meet other guys, other podcasts. And definitely we'll have more coming up in the off season for sure. So definitely continue to tune in, especially the rest of the week. We'll have championship previews of the Cable World Truck Series in Xfinity on one show. And of course, Thursday, after Media Day, I plan on doing a championship preview. That will be the last preview of this season. And then we'll let the championship weekend play out to see who's the champion in all three divisions at the end of the week. Definitely excited. I'm excited also to see what happens with Truex. So it's going to be a good one, that's for sure. So definitely the best of the best going at it. So we'll find out what happens this week. But for right now, on this chilly night in Manhattan, Kansas, that's going to wrap things up for another edition of the 3Watt NASCAR Podcast with EG3. I'm Eddie Greer III saying thank you for tuning in to this special edition of the podcast, hanging out with Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas, which is less than 20 minutes away. It's been a good chat once again. But once again, we'll be back again with those previews this week, leading up the Ford Championship weekend. For right now, EG3 signing out for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We'll talk to you next time on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast.
To the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3Wide.